My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show where we talk soccer all over Atlanta, all over Georgia, all over the Southeast, the United States, this hemisphere, the planet, the globe, all those things. That's what we're going to cover, and we're going to hit a lot of that on tonight's show. But of course, we're going to spend a lot of time on Atlanta United's win just up I-85 in Charlotte, North Carolina, in what is growing into a rivalry. And I know that word scares people, and I know that word ends up becoming an argument for lots of folks. Yes, games can be rivalries very quickly. Yes, sometimes it takes a lot of time for a game, a matchup, to become a rivalry. Yes, you also have varying scales of rivalries. This has a feel to it, and not just because of the social media posts after the match from the Atlanta United social media team. That might have added to the rivalry going forward, but Charlotte's social media team's done the same over the years too, so it kind of goes back and forth. This is always going to be a big game just because, look, you're going to have a lot of fans who travel back and forth. And you're going to hear from Brad Kazan talking about the effect of the fans. And there were at least 800 who traveled through official capacities. So there are a certain number of tickets that both teams allot to supporters. That is a supporters section. And I don't know what that number is specifically in these games, because look, Atlanta and Charlotte have big stadiums and can allot more tickets than maybe a few others can. Some other stadiums are smaller and they can't do that. Portland and Seattle can get kind of contentious because of that. So a lot of fans are in that boat. But remember, Atlanta United offers to its season ticket holders the ability to go to a game on the road. If you opt in and you elect to make that trip, they will take care of the tickets for you. So they go and buy those tickets. And it can be complicated at times in some of these situations. Sometimes they can't get everybody in, like Miami, where it's not as big of a venue. Other venues, a little bit easier to do. So we know there were at least 800 who went through official channels. I'm sure there were more who did not. There was a lot of red and black in the building, and there was a lot of red and black that was very, very happy to see this moment play out from one, a Johnny Fortune. You guys know him as Jay. He's on the MLS team of the match day. This is what it sounded like with Mike Conti and myself in the booth at Bank of America Stadium when Jay Fortune gave Atlanta the lead.
Here's Shonday Silva, a good turn around. Bronico sending it down the middle to Fortune, dribbling out of center circle, straight down the middle. Fortune bumped, shoots, score! From 20 yards out, after being bumped by Brant Bronico, Jay Fortune has scored his first ever Atlanta United goal.
If you have been watching this team over the last month, you have watched Jay Fortune grow up before your very eyes. He has been so close to those sorts of moments. A player, you can see how much it means to him and his teammates. He's been so good at linking players in this group, and the next step for him has been contributing in the final third. That is a grown man's finish right there from Jay Fortune on a run through the middle, and he gives Atlanta the lead on the road.
Yeah, I was a little emotional about that goal, I'm not going to lie. Full disclosure, yeah, I might have felt some tears welling up because Jay has been a player that I've had the pleasure to watch grow up in this club. He came from Raleigh originally, where he played at his dad's club. His dad was his coach until he came to Atlanta. And you can read all about it. I shared it on Saturday night. A great feature over at soccerdownhere.net from our friend Madison Cruz. We got to sit down with Jay and have a long conversation with him about his life, his journey, his passions, you know, what he wants to accomplish. It was a great conversation and a great feature that Madison wrote. But Jay's a guy that I saw in the academy, and he's a guy that I saw with the twos, and I saw him in low moments with the twos, and I saw him earn his professional deal, and I saw Robbie Mertz as he was on his way back to his hometown of Pittsburgh to join the Riverhounds when he left the twos, really pass the torch in that midfield, but also in the leadership structure, on to Jay Fortune. And those moments have been critical for him. It really has been this kind of element that's been missing from his game. He's a player who has put in the work. He's a player who covers a ton of ground. He's a player who can get stuck in defensively. I think he's added some bite to that midfield. He hasn't looked like the moments have been too big for him. Remember, he played a lot in the playoff series against Columbus last season. And I will always remember conversations that I had with Gonzalo Pineda about Jay Fortune's development. And Gonzalo believed in him just like Rob Valentino believes in him, just like Jack Collison believed in him with the twos, and Stephen Glass as well, Tony Annan in the academy. He's had a lot of people pulling for him. And Gonzalo talked about this very thing. Like, this was the missing element for him. He's been very close for a long time in terms of creating a big goal or scoring a big goal. This was a big goal. It ends up being the difference for Atlanta United. They stay in a playoff spot at the end of the night with this 3 points, a 1-0 win on the road over Charlotte. We know wins on the road have not been easy to come by. Let's hear from Rob Valentino about the goal and about Jay Fortune himself.
No, I'm happy for Jay. You guys have asked about him a lot, and it's deserved. I think that he's got a bright future. He's been progressing very well, pushing the guys in front of him. Then he earned himself a nice goal tonight. Honestly, the goal is the type of goal that I think that this is the type of team I would like us to be. That we can, for me, it's not about. This is about attacking fast and about being direct. This is kind of what I've been saying, is that it's not about going back to front in terms of one long pass. Now, if they give that to you, that's what you go and attack. But that was three passes in that you're at in front of goal, and Jay's ability to break on the dribble helped that. But there was other players without touching it helped in that movement and the build up to the goal. So I was happy that I felt like it was a real team goal, and Jay gets all the credit for the finish. It was a fantastic finish.
I want you to mentally clip that part talking about Rob saying this is the kind of goal and this is the kind of team that he wants to see. We're going to come back to that in the second segment. So clip that, file it away. Let's continue on with the man of the hour, Jay Fortune, talking about the goal and what it means to him.
A little bit, yeah. Honestly, any goal always feels great, but I think one, it being here, two, you know, the team was able to get 3 points that we needed, and like I said, being able to see them after the game, you know, you could see the smile it brings to their face, which brings a smile to my face as well, and so I really enjoyed it.
So grinding out the result in a game like this, I asked Brad about it. Do you feel like this is the kind of win that can build character and build personality within the group?
Yeah, I mean, these wins aren't easy. And I was really happy with the way that my teammates had my back tonight. I wasn't able to finish the game. And, you know, they really worked hard to secure the win. And, you know, an issue we've been having was not being able to keep clean sheets. And, you know, we kept one today, which is another plus, another big takeaway from the game. So I think we go in and we look at what went well, what didn't go so well, and we try and build on it for the next game.
That was Jay Fortune from the media room at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte after his goal stood up to win the match for Atlanta United. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore. We're going back through the game against Charlotte. We're going to talk a little bit about what this can mean for the group going forward as well. And speaking of that, I asked the question to Rob about Fortune was injured. He talked about it in his clip about how he couldn't finish the match. You didn't have Tristan Muyamba, who is out with a hip issue. You had already brought on Dax McCarty. You were out of midfielders. You didn't have a direct replacement for Jay Fortune. So I asked him, you know, what was the thought process in going to the line of five when they did, Luis Abram coming into the match. Here's what Rob had to say.
Yeah, we were talking about maybe later in the game being able to shut down the game with a back five. End up having to do it a little bit earlier. And, you know, having the midfielders that we had, had Dax on the pitch, we had Bartek on the pitch. We trying to do it as smart as we could, knowing the moments that you had. Yeah, it's tricky sometimes. You got 3 moments and you've got 5 subs and how you make them. So there was different discussions, but I felt like I guess the result tells us we get it right. But you know, we'll look at how we make those subs, the timing of when we make them, and who can make those impacts. So Luis did a great job coming in the other day. He's worked really hard, and at times he doesn't get his reward to play. And when you step into the game as a center back, it can be difficult. So it's a lot of credit to him to continue to fight and fight for his place. And now he'll go away with the national team and hopefully earn some more minutes.
Valentino's really thoughtful in how he manages his team. And I think you got a glimpse of that there, talking about Luis Abram, who is a player who, you know, I don't know if he just hasn't gotten enough credit here from fans, from media, what have you. He's been a very solid performer. Has he been the best center back on the roster? No, and that's why he hasn't played a whole lot. But you also have a situation where there have been injuries. You have had very good performances from Derek Williams, from Steon Gregerson, from Noah Cobb this season, Efrain Morales, when he has been called upon. It's hard to get everybody the amount of playing time that they deserve. And I think you get that glimpse there from Rob about kind of how it feels when you're trying to make that happen. I want to give you another glimpse into the personality of Rob Valentino. And this is him on the collective performance in Charlotte that led to 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real collective performance. I said to these guys in there, I thought it had a little bit of everything for them. They attacked pretty well in the first half. They defended pretty well at times, and then they suffered. And we talked about having to suffer and you know, doing the work for each other. We talked, there was a time period during the League's Cup break, and we talked about a standard that we want to set. They answered some questions for me and how they wanted that to go. And those were all a lot of words that they brought up, and those words became actions tonight. And that's what they have to show every single day, not when they feel like it, every single moment when you're on the pitch, training, games. So whether it was Derek, whether it's Steon, Brad, Luis, you know, all of them contribute to that. So I'm proud of them for that, like holding that standard and putting those words into actions.
That's such a key when you have those conversations during a break in the schedule. And honestly, it was the first break that Rob Valentino really had in the schedule to not just have the team rest, not just work on tactics on the field, but to actually build the character of the group, the collective personality of the group. And he talked about how there were conversations that were had and words about how players wanted the team to be. And then seeing it in action, that's got to be so rewarding for Rob and for his staff, because it's been tough. The travel schedule leading into League's Cup was insane. And now you're trying to get back going again. You're bringing Alexei Maranchuk into the mix. We're going to talk about him in the next segment and what he brought to the team. You're trying to, in a way, you've been able to plan a little bit, but you're also figuring things out on the fly while dealing with the pressure of trying to get into the postseason and giving this team an opportunity to compete for a trophy. That's a lot of stuff. And to see it all come to fruition in the way that it did on the road Saturday night, it has to be extremely rewarding for the group. Now, they don't have a match this weekend. It is the international break. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the 3-4-3. But up next, we're going to get into Brad Kazan's thoughts on the traveling fans. And we're going to get into that conversation about the identity of this team as they are currently constructed, how Alexei Maranchuk can affect that identity, all that and more when we come back on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me this evening. We're talking about Atlanta's win in Charlotte on the weekend and kind of what it means from a big picture perspective, what we can expect to see the rest of the way for Atlanta United as we go into an international break this week. But then you have a midweek game the following week, and it's not just any midweek game. It's Inter Miami. Could be Lionel Messi's first match with Miami in Atlanta. He is coming back from injury. He is not part of the Argentine national team squad playing in World Cup qualifiers over this next week. We'll talk about that in the 3-4-3. But let's get into one more segment from Atlanta and Charlotte. And I do want to play you a clip from Brad Kazan. I ask him about, you know, how this game is kind of becoming more than just your run-of-the-mill match between Atlanta and Charlotte. And here's what Brad Kazan had to say.
Yeah, I mean, of course, right? It's, you know, there's always that little bit extra, right? you know, what I will say is a fantastic turnout from our supporters to not only turn up, but be heard, be seen throughout the stadium. There's a lot going on in Atlanta. And so for the numbers that we had that made the trip, we're extremely appreciative of all of our supporters that made the trip, the ones that probably have relocated and they're representing the shirt proudly in enemy territory. And so it goes a long way for us to look up and see black and red stripes up there.
Here's the thing about that, and this is, I do think, important to keep in mind, because look, we can sit here and be frustrated about Atlanta United not winning trophies lately. We can be frustrated about players coming and going and managers coming and going and the team not being where they want to be. We can talk about all that. That's real. That's sports. You can do all the right things and still lose. You can make all kinds of mistakes and things can fall into your lap and you can win. That's why we keep coming back. That's why we love this. And I think it's very easy if you're not like completely connected into the Atlanta United universe. And look, maybe you're just on social media. Maybe you're just reading different elements or listening to different elements. I don't know. It's very easy to think that everything is negative and that people across the board have checked out. 800 plus traveling fans from Atlanta to Charlotte on Labor Day weekend is significant. I don't know the numbers of this. I don't have these numbers. I don't know if they're actually publicly available. I would imagine that's more than Hawks fans have ever traveled to Charlotte for a game against the Hornets or the Bobcats, for that matter. I think that is probably on par, and maybe a little bit less than Falcons fans traveling for a game against the Panthers. When the team is not playing as well as you want them to be, when the team is struggling at times, to still see that level of support, even with the noise, even with the toxicity and negativity and all of that, even with all of that, to see that many fans and that many red and black shirts and to be that loud in those moments late in that match, it has meaning. You can't ignore it. You can't say that it didn't happen. And I think at times we just have to remember that, one, there is a large portion of whatever fan base we're part of. And look, all of us are we're in multiple fan groups. You know, I've been a Falcons fan going back to Steve Barkowski days. And yeah, last year was not exactly a fun year. And there's a lot of people who will come up with the funniest thing to say or the funniest meme to post to get those clicks on social media. And when you see that over and over again, it can get in your head that everything is terrible and everybody thinks it's terrible. It's not true. It's not true about the Braves, even though sometimes Braves social media will confuse me, because I mean, going back Braves days, I'm going back to, I had a Glenn Hubbard glove the one year that I played Little League Baseball. The Braves social media online fan base, I will be massively confused when I see their takes after a game or after a series about how the team is doing, and I'll think they're in last place. And they're not. They're actually in first some of those times. It's crazy. And look, it's a different situation because you're talking about a team that has won a whole lot for a long period of time, then only won one World Series, then didn't win for a good while, then won another World Series, and now I think fans expect a World Series every year. And again, you can do everything right, and you can have a bunch of injuries, and that team's had a ton of injuries. You know, the Hawks, I think it's easy to think that they have been terrible for a decade plus. Well, I've been to a couple Eastern Conference Finals. They've been very close. I talk about this a lot when Mike Conte and I are on the road and we get into things. If you go back and you take the NYPD breaking Thabo Sefolosha's leg out of the equation, and you go back and you take Trae Young not stepping on the referee in that series, and you take those out of the equation, we could be having some really different conversations about the Atlanta Hawks. It's crazy how sports will do this to us. But 800 traveling fans, when I talk to people and a lot of us around this talk to people, and you hear a lot of negativity and a lot of everybody's checked out, nobody cares like they used to, yada, yada, yada. Well, no, not everybody. And look, it's got to get better. You got to win games. You got to get into the postseason. You got to win trophies. That's the expectation that this club has set, and that's a good expectation to set. It's also very difficult to do, and that's where this team is right now. So let's get into 2024 and what is left for this team. It's seven matches, a decent number at home. The next two are at home, and that's very important. But you look at the Eastern Conference table right now. Atlanta is in the last playoff spot. If the season ended today with everybody on the number of points that they are on, Atlanta would be headed to Toronto in the play-in round with the opportunity to win and then go into a best-of-three series against Inter Miami. Atlanta is 1 point ahead of Philadelphia in 10th place. Philadelphia is on the outside looking in. Atlanta's 2 points ahead of D.C., 4 points ahead of Montreal, and 5 points ahead of New England, Chicago, and Nashville. There were 2 points separating 9th and 15th when we started action on Saturday. Now it's five. This is going to go down to the wire. Atlanta's 2 points behind Toronto. That could flip. Atlanta's got a game in hand on Toronto as well. That could flip, and Atlanta could host that play-in game. They are 6 points behind Orlando, who is in the last first-round proper spot. Now, do keep in mind, New England is 5 points behind Atlanta with two games in hand on Atlanta. Also, you're at the portion of the season where those games in hand are difficult because you're talking about a whole bunch of games at the end of a campaign where you've already played a whole bunch of games. So we'll see how all of that goes down. Now, I want to go back to what I told you to mentally clip from that Rob Valentino conversation earlier about how the team played the way that he wanted to see. I think Valentino could be the most pragmatic manager that Atlanta United has had. I think Stephen Glass could be pretty pragmatic when he needed to be. We didn't get to see Stephen Glass with the number of weapons that Valentino has right now. We didn't get to see them in the same kind of spot in 2020 when he was the interim finishing out that season. Frank DeBoer was pragmatic. I think Valentino is different and the situation's different. And when I say pragmatic, I want to be very clear. I'm talking about the dictionary definition of pragmatic, not the colloquial term in soccer of being pragmatic where it just means defensive. No. That's not what pragmatic means. Pragmatic, in a broad sense, is making your decisions based on practical matters, real-world conditions, what you have to work with, rather than purely ideals or principles. So in Atlanta United's case, and we'll go back to what Rob talked about with being direct, vertical. We talked about Tata Martino being vertical very often with how he wanted his team to play. Verticalidad, which is what we talked about with Tata's time in 2017 and 18, that doesn't have to be, again, going back to the soccer colloquialism of being direct and that being a negative thing, that being a boring thing, that being a maybe unstrategic thing. Back in the day, you would see teams lump the ball forward. They'd hoof it. They'd send it. They'd blast it. They'd clear it. All the different things that you can call it. Basically, they would kick it as far away from their own goal as possible, and they would hope to just go chase it and find it. That's not the way that Atlanta United is playing. That's not how Jay Fortune's goal came. You can be vertical with a purpose, and you can do it in the sense of a team that wants the ball and wants to base their game on having the ball. At times when you play direct and you just bomb it forward, you're hoping for 50-50s to go your way. You're looking for a knockdown. You're looking for a deflection. You're looking to find the second ball. You know, you're trying to win the first ball and the second ball, and you've got people yelling about first, second. You know, you're doing all of that. That's not always the best situation for creating opportunities, unless you have Christian Benteke, who seemingly wins every header known to man. This team wants to get into the attacking half as quickly as possible. Not recklessly, not bombing it forward with no purpose, but getting there as quickly as possible. That can be on the dribble. That can be with two passes. That can be on the ground. That can be over the top. That can be a long ball played into the corners. That can be a lot of different ways. But they want to get into that attacking half as quickly as possible, which is very similar to what Tata Martino wanted to do in 2017 and 2018. So keep that in mind when you're watching Atlanta United over these last seven games. Alexi Maranchuk, I'm going to end with what I thought of his performance in Charlotte and what he can bring to this team going forward. First off, whole lot of guts out of Maranchuk, because this is a player who we thought maybe could play 55 to 60 minutes, and he ended up going 90. That's not easy to do. The pace of the game helped him a little bit, but he was able, because of that soccer IQ, to find ways to still contribute, even though I'm sure his legs and his lungs were burning. He was able to find a way to help this team. He has a ton of quality, and it's going to take some time for the players around him to get used to him, because he's so different than Atlanta United has had in that kind of a position. You know, Pity Martinez, Ezequiel Barco, Thiago Almada, Miguel Almiron, all in different ways, great on the dribble. Alexi Maranchuk can dribble, but that's not what he does first. What he does first is pass. He is a 1-2 touch player. He wants to pass. You give him the ball, he wants to give it back. He's looking for that. So that takes a little bit of time. That takes a little bit of adjustment. I think you're seeing those building blocks forming with Alexi Maranchuk. But now you're going to get 2 weeks of him training, getting fitter, playing with a lot of the players around him. Not all of them, but a lot of the players around him in training. And it's going to help his performance when this team is back on the field. Not this Saturday, but the following Saturday as they host Nashville. Coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, it's the 3-4-3. Three local stories, four headlines, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Atlanta Soccer Tonight returns in 5 minutes on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, final segment. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me this evening. Y'all know what time it is. It's time for the 3-4-3, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Start on the local side. Let's start with Atlanta United 2. They were on the road for two games last week. Wednesday night, not so good in High Point, North Carolina. A loss to Carolina Core, a red card to Efrain Morales, two yellows to be exact. And not a good performance. Steve Cook kind of challenged this group to bounce back and respond. And oh, did they ever. In one of the wildest games that I have ever seen, Atlanta ends up winning 4-3 with a late goal in stoppage time. Chattanooga had two players sent off in a melee. A third player was sent off from the bench. Yellow cards were flying in this one. Madison Cruz caught up with Steve Cook after the match, and here was his initial reaction to that insanity at Finley Stadium.
You know, there are some nights in football you'll remember the rest of your life, you know, and that's one of them, that second half performance. Not only because we came back early and got back level, but more importantly, when they went to 3-2, I thought that's when the real courage started, and the belief in the players, the strength, the purpose, the belief. And that's what we should be like all the time. And I've just told them in there, they deserve that. They've done really well. But it's got to be like that more often, that fight to stay in the game and do well, but also the courage to play your football. And to be fair, I think 4-3 doesn't do us any justice. We could have had 5 or 6. I thought we were really, really good.
Just a crazy night at the office. And they had to keep coming back. It was back and forth both ways. It was 3-2 Chattanooga in the second half, and Atlanta found a way back into it. A huge win for Atlanta United 2 as they're trying to climb up the ladder to get into the playoff picture in MLS Next Pro. They're next in action on Friday, late afternoon, a 5 o'clock start as the Twos are on the road to face NYCFC. Number two on the local side, Georgia State. Their men's team got a big 2-1 win on the road at Liberty on Sunday afternoon. Former Atlanta United Academy forward Matthew Taylor with the winning goal there. Liberty took a 1-0 lead. Georgia State came back and won that 2-1. A big comeback win. They'll be at home on Sunday, 6 o'clock kick at the GSU Soccer Complex as they host Memphis. Number three on the local side. I don't know what it is about me being at crazy games over the past couple of days, but a very wild one last night. The Sonny Carter Invitational at Emory University. Emory was ranked in the preseason polls in D3 on the men's side. Oglethorpe was not and should have been. Both were in the NCAA tournament last year. And this game started 3-0 Emory and ended 3-3 with a goal in the last minute of play to tie it. Just a crazy, crazy night. And you can hear from both of the coaches and from Daniel Ama, who had that game-tying goal. It's an after-the-whistle special over on the SDH Network. Go find that on social media and on YouTube if you want to hear from that one. The setting flips for both of those men's teams. They are hosting another event, this time at Oglethorpe in Brookhaven, this weekend. Friday and Sunday games on the men's side. Emory and Oglethorpe will both be participating, not playing one another in this, but should be some really good games at the D3 level. Headlines. Let's start with the first of four. Phil Foden, Cole Palmer, Ollie Watkins have all withdrawn from the England squad for the upcoming Nations League games. The FA said in a statement that Palmer and Watkins have returned to their clubs to continue rehabilitation for ongoing issues. Foden did not report to camp because of illness. It's been really a struggle for him this season. He's only played 45 minutes. That was as a sub in the win over Chelsea on the opening weekend. He missed the last two games with illness. So hopefully Phil Foden can get back into the mix for Manchester City and for England. Lee Carsley, these are his first games in charge as the interim following Gareth Southgate's decision to step down after the Euros. Number two on the headlines, and there's probably a whole bunch of headlines into this, but Chelsea, and now they can't add any more players, and that's probably good for them because they would probably try to find a way to add five or six more, even though they still have too many players. Welcome to Chelsea. When you go back through kind of what they've done, you know, they played games in the U.S. this summer, and they didn't look good. They played a game against Real Madrid. Raheem Sterling didn't look great there, and Chelsea got back to England and said, we don't want him. So then they've had to figure that out. They then were so spontaneous in deciding to go get Pedro Neto that, according to The Athletic, he had zero warning about it, and his club had zero warning about it. Chelsea just made a $65.5 million offer, and everybody said yes because, duh, craziness. Chelsea tried seven different times to get Victor Osimhen from Napoli. None of them worked. They did, and this is a weird one too. So Chelsea, if you remember during the Conor Gallagher issue, Chelsea was supposedly going to add Atletico Madrid striker Samu Amorodion for $45.2 million US. It didn't get done. He ended up going to Porto for $16.7 million. Huh? What's up with that? That sounds a little odd. I don't understand it. You guys can explain it to me at some point. They did sell a lot of players to bring in a lot of money. They brought in academy players, brought in a lot of money for them, somewhere around $158 million in total for Connor Gallagher, Lewis Hall, Ian Mattson, Omari Hutchinson, a lot of money. Is the team actually better? No. Three games played, they're 11th, 4 points. I mean, we still got to see more. It's too early to completely say that Enzo Maresca is no different or worse than Maurizio Pochettino, but they have 4 points through three games, and they're in 11th. I mean, the results are what they are, right? This has been a weird window, but Chelsea has spent the most money in the 2022, window, the 2023 window, it's gone down. It was $665 million in 2022, $441 in 2023, $265 this summer. They spent more than any other club in the Premier League. What have they gotten for all that? I don't really know. U.S. men's national team, number three on the headlines. And it does relate to Chelsea because Maurizio Pochettino, it sounds like, according to Fabrizio Romano, that the deal is pretty much done for Pochettino to join the U.S. men's national team. Could even be announced tomorrow. The last obstacle that was there was a legal situation with Chelsea, a final settlement plan with them. Not sure how that's going to end up getting sorted out. I'm sure Chelsea will be happy to pay him less than they still owe him because, of course, they signed him to a guaranteed deal and then did not continue with him. Hopefully, on the U.S. soccer side, they can get this deal done for Pochettino before Saturday's match against New Zealand with the hopes that Pochettino can be in the building and maybe even introduced to the fans as the national team will play New Zealand in a friendly in Cincinnati. Number four on the headlines, not friendlies in South America. It's World Cup qualifiers, and this is the best World Cup qualifying campaign every single time around. It's not quite as good as it was before where four teams qualified automatically. A fifth got through in the playoff if they could win that. Now it's six teams automatically out of 10, and the seventh place team goes into the playoffs. Still drama. Argentina leads it. Uruguay second, Colombia third, Venezuela fourth, and they have never been to a World Cup, and they're in a good spot right now. Ecuador fifth, Brazil sixth. They are in an automatic spot. Paraguay seventh on goal differential above Chile, who are both on 5 points. Bolivia is on 3 points, and Peru with Luis Abram are on 2 points. Also, because it's CONMEBOL and there's going to be drama, the military police of Paraná identified three men as being responsible for operating a drone that flew over and filmed the Brazilian team's training session yesterday, or earlier today, actually. One of the men is Ecuadorian. Ecuador plays Brazil this week. This is going to get interesting. The Brazilian Federation has not said anything as of yet. Globo is reporting all of this. Match day seven in the South American qualifiers. They play 18 rounds. You play everybody home and away. Match day seven starts on Thursday. Bolivia hosting Venezuela, Argentina hosting Chile, and then on Friday, Uruguay hosting Paraguay, Brazil, Ecuador, Peru in maybe a must-win game on Friday night in Lima hosting Colombia. Match day eight next week, September 10th, all of the games, Colombia hosting Argentina, what should be a wild game, a rematch of the Copa America final, Chile hosting Bolivia, Ecuador hosting Peru, Venezuela hosting Uruguay in a very important game for the Vinotinto, and Paraguay hosting Brazil. All right, three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. The South American qualifiers could be on this list, but I have three more. I love the South American World Cup qualifiers. Number one, I mentioned it earlier with Emery and Oglethorpe. The fact that Emery is continuing to honor Sonny Carter with their invitational season kickoff event and what it means to the school and the fact that the current team and the current coaching staff understand what it means is very, very cool to me as a history buff. Sonny was the first kind of air quotes homegrown Georgia soccer star. Grew up in Macon and Warner Robins before you had soccer in high school, before you had youth clubs, before you had any of that. He went to Emory and joined the soccer team at Emory and became a star there, was a captain in his senior year, was the most valuable player for the team in his senior year, and had just really picked up the game for the most part. He was so impressive that the Atlanta Chiefs signed him to a professional deal in 1970, played three seasons with the Chiefs. After his professional soccer career ended, when the Chiefs run ended, the first version of the Atlanta Chiefs, he entered the Navy. He went through Top Gun school in 1982. He then became an astronaut with NASA and went to space. I mean, this is a professional soccer player from Atlanta, grew up in Georgia, starred at Emory, and is an icon in so many different aspects of life. Carter sadly passed away in a plane crash in Brunswick in 1991. He's a member of the Emory Athletic Hall of Fame. He's honored at the beginning of every season with this invitational event that bears his name. And it's just very, very cool that Emory continues to do this. Number two on the things that make me smile about the game, I mentioned the craziness on Sunday night in Chattanooga. It was a crazy weekend. I was in Charlotte with the first team, obviously, for radio on Saturday night. We flew back. I got home about 1 o'clock. Got up, did the Georgia State women's match against Western Carolina at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. Then we drove up to Chattanooga, myself, John Nelson, Madison Cruz. We drove up there for the twos game, and I love doing these twos matches so much, and I love seeing the players and the stories develop. I mentioned it with Jay Fortune earlier. I wouldn't have the connection to his career and the emotional feelings that I do when he plays well if I hadn't seen what he's gone through with Atlanta United too and the adversity that he has grown from and learned from and developed from. I love seeing those stories. And I think we got an early glimpse of one on Sunday night. Ashton Gordon scoring his first professional goal to make it 3-3, and a great goal from Gordon. A great ball from Alan Carlton, who had a goal and an assist on the night. Kareem Tamimi, another great story with Atlanta United, too. He got the winner late. 28 years old from France, played at Georgia Gwinnett College, an NAIA superstar there. One of the best guys that you could meet with this team, and he understands his role. It's about helping those young guys develop. It's about passing on life lessons. It's about being a mentor to guys like Ashton Gordon. And to see those last two goals in that match scored by Gordon at 16 years old and Tamimi at 28, and the emotions from both of them for one another in those moments, just so, so cool. And that's why any chance I get to be around Atlanta United 2 and cover Atlanta United 2, I'm going to take it because it's the lifeblood of the club. Number three, obviously, Jay Fortune. And so many of the things I just said apply to Jay Fortune and his rise. That goal is one that will always stick with me for the rest of my life, honestly, in the game, is being there and seeing that moment. What it meant to him, what it meant to his teammates, getting the chance to talk to him afterwards. Jay Fortune is a great representative of what Atlanta United wants to be. And I think we're only starting to see him really blossom. It's so, so cool to see. Thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight. Thanks for all the audio that you had a chance to hear. Thank you, Atlanta United, and everybody with the club for being willing to talk to us after games like that. Atlanta Soccer Tonight will be back next Tuesday at 10 p.m. Adios, everybody.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.